spirit lead in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that life. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you, help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. This show is about the topical, the conversational, but most importantly, the purposeful. We hope to develop and distribute hope to the broken. We pray that this show blesses you today. All right, we're back at it again. This is Matthew Mayer, and I just want to give a brief shout-out real quick. If you've liked the intro, the music I'm talking about, not my voice, and you have listened to the outro, more of the same song, same music, it actually comes from a fellow inmate that I was incarcerated with, and he put this track together and actually has a CD. And you can purchase that CD if you like his music and the lyrics, and I really encourage you to listen to the lyrics. One of the chorus lines says, "I've been there. I know where you're going," and we have been there, and we know where you are going, and we know where you're coming from. So the website you can go to check out the CD is www.tatemusicgroup.com. That's T-A-T-E, musicgroup.com. Click on store, search for the G220 CD. That is G220. That is a reference to Galatians 2:20. It's a Bible verse, and check it out. You guys will really like what you see. But we're going to pick up from last episode where we talked about where is God at in the midst of tragedy and suffering, and why would he allow such things, and what type of world are we living in? How can I believe in a God that allows evil, and so on and so forth? And we just shot some ideas around from personal experience, but also some things that could provoke different types of thoughts when you hear about suffering in the world. And we went back to Adam and Eve, Genesis, where the title deed of planet Earth was willingly handed over to the enemy, the devil, and since that day he has been wreaking havoc, and God gets all the blame. And, you know, before we start the show, I just want to have something on your mind. I want you to think about one of the statements Jesus said from the cross. And it was a why question. It's the very why question that we struggle with. And it's, why, God, why have you forsaken me? And we know the result. We know the end of the gospel. We know that he conquered death and he resurrected. So you may have that why question, but you're not seeing any type of resurrection in your life. I just want you for a moment to replace that question mark at the end and put a cross there and then see your circumstances.
Very, very, very interesting thoughts there. He's challenging me, people. He's challenging me. But see, I am in menopause, which means my brain is functioning slower, as many of you women my age know out there. So sometimes I sit here in that foggy state and gone, wow, that's pretty interesting. And then I realize I have to contribute something here. So here's my contribution. Having been through some hard stuff and through some suffering, I often sit and wonder how people do it without a faith in God. I mean, if you can't start there, I don't know where you're going to end, because that, for me, is the basis of how to get through these things, because God has spoken to this. As you said, Matt, the cross is what you put next to the why. We know what the cross represents. We know what God went through to save us. And I think back on some of the terrible occurrences that have happened in our world. And you all know that Sandy Hook, I mean, think of those precious little babies.
Yeah, school shooting.
How do you, I mean, just even, let's talk about the fact, the worst of all scenarios was those little baby children.
Yeah, I was actually locked up for that. I don't want to go into too much detail. You guys probably have a better perspective, but I remember watching the news with all the guys, and I was the first person that many people came to because I led the Bible study, and they all wanted an answer. And unfortunately, they wanted to provoke the wrong answer. They wanted me to basically discredit God and why he would allow such tragedy. And I remember in that very moment a newscast, and I don't even think the newscast knew what they got themselves into with this, because it was a liberal news station, and they went to one of the fathers of one of the children who was killed, and they asked him in that moment a question about how he was coping, and the first thing he said was, well, you know what, we believe in God, and we're actually going to pray for the shooter and his family. And it was as if the newscast didn't know where to go from there. But he showed God off in that horrible moment where a father should have been angered. And I'm sure he went through angered emotions. He lost his loved one. He lost a child. But on the flip side, he understood that there was a God he served that was faithful and in control. And I'm sure of it that that testimony didn't stop there for that man and his family. And I believe they probably went to church and people probably hovered around him. They were able to testify to how great God is to even allow something. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's suffering will cease in this world when we enter God's world. And that's heaven if you're a believer. And I believe in those moments, those children entered into Jesus' arms and they were healed and they were at peace in that moment. And a parent who knows that and they've lost a child, we just experienced an awesome outreach by the Lasser family called Matt Stocking. If you don't know that story, you can find out more information at their website. You know, Google Matt Lasser's name or even go to my website and you'll find information out there. Well, you have a child who was 12 years old, killed in a car accident. And how do you cope with that? How do you explain that? It was a non-provoked accident. It just happened. There was nobody at fault, really, the driver. But where do you go from there? And you're sitting in 17, 18 years later from that tragedy. And you see how God is still using the impact of such a young death to change people's lives. And that life and that death has impacted my life until I die.
You go back to when you said you were in the Bible study, and this kind of keyed something for me. They were asking and provoking questions, you know, asking. And I look at people now and say, well, even if you ask the wrong question and you get an answer, it doesn't help you. And often we ask the wrong question. Mm-hmm. And we can ask, you know, God, why? Why did that thing happen? Why does this happen? Why is this happening to me? And we probably need to step back and say, okay, let's change the question. There are so many other questions you could ask. All right, God, what are you trying to teach me?
Right.
Or, you know, like I said in the last show, sometimes God just wants your attention.
Right.
And maybe we just need to say, yes, Lord, what do you want?
Right.
What are you trying to show me? I have not grown and mature spiritually through good times. It's only through the struggles. Did my faith get stronger? My connection with God get stronger? Did my heart change? It always through tough things.
Wow. You know, what's crazy is the natural world or the nature world teaches us these lessons, but we overlook them. We take them for granted. And as you're speaking, I think of the oak tree and how the strong roots of an oak tree are actually strengthened and complemented by the storms that rage. And the reason why those roots go down so deep is because the storms and the winds actually cause the tree's roots to gain strength. And I also think of the diamond, which starts out as, you know, a lump of coal, and it takes a lot of pressure, immense pressure, in those dark caverns to bring out such a brilliant jewel. And I think of the butterfly, and I consider myself a motley caterpillar crawling through life until I entered a cocoon called prison, and God allowed me to emerge a beautiful butterfly, because that's called transformation.
That may have only been your first cocoon. You never know. Life's long, but yeah, what the caterpillar perceives as the end is only the beginning for the butterfly. Something beautiful that's going to come out of it. Not that you're any better looking than you got out of jail, but
I'm trying.
Yeah, it does mean that you grew in a lot of other ways that really matter.
Well, yeah, real quick story. I know Mom's chomping at the bits over there to speak. You know, it's the farmer selling a mule, and he advertises that the mule responds to every command. And a guy's curious. He walks up, and he wants to buy the mule. So he's, sit, mule, sit. And the mule's not responding. And sit, mule, sit. And the mule is just not responding. So the possible buyer walks up to the farmer and says, you have false advertisement. Your sign says that he responds to every command. The farmer just smiles, picks up a piece of wood, and whack! Sit, mule. And the mule sat. And he said to the guy, first you have to get his attention. And I've experienced that. And God wanted my attention. He's been crying out and calling my attention, Matthew Mayer, wake up, for a long time. But I disregarded it. And I put myself into a cocoon where there is suffering there. And people are in self-destructive behavior, self-pity behavior. And suffering exists, and you see it. And then they come from brokenness themselves, and then they experience death and tragedy while they're locked up, which is suffering compounded upon suffering. And I had a witness and had to figure out for myself, how do I get through this? And was God with me? And I learned that he was, and he just wanted my attention. And no, that did not reverse the consequences. No, that did not take away the pain. No, it didn't make it easier. But the fact that I knew that I served a God who was willing to enter my mess, to clean me up, refine me, and like that diamond, it took a lot of pressure. And that's why the Bible verse James 1, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 tells us, consider it joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce something in you. And that what it produces is maturity, it's perseverance. And that is what makes you perfect. Not perfect in a sense of I don't sin, but perfect in a sense of wholeness, complete maturity. And that's what pressure does.
Yes, and the female in the room wants to say that that is all true. It's all process, but I want to speak to someone whose innocent child is taken out of your hands through no fault of your own, through no lesson from God. It happened because of evil. And how do you deal with that? And I think one of the things that, or one of the examples we have in Scripture is Joseph, who it's a great story in Genesis. You should try to read it. And he really didn't do anything wrong. And he was sold into slavery and just so many things, promises of him being released. And then he was betrayed and he suffered a lot. And he winds up in the long run, according to God's great plan and purpose, being a ruler and eventually saving the very people that went to do him harm.
Absolutely. God had to bring him to a place called Egypt at a time where it took actually 13 years mm-hmm. from the moment he was sold by his very own brothers, those that he trusted, those right. that he grew up with. 13 years of waiting on this God that he said he believed in, that he trusted, and waiting day in and day out. Okay, God, where are you?
Yes.
And it got worse. It didn't stop at slavery. He got put into a prison. Mm-hmm. And then he got accused of something that he didn't do. He got accused of sleeping with his master's wife. And then the master dealt with him. And why would God? Because God needed to bring him to a place. He needed to isolate him. He needed to not only refine him, he needed to mature him, because he had a responsibility for this young man that he was not ready for as a 17-year-old.
But I think one of the keys in that story is that, and this is a common phrase that people hear, you could either get bitter or you can get better. Joseph continually got better. He wouldn't allow that to knock him down.
That's right. And one of the scriptures, when we don't do the story justice. It's Genesis 37, and it takes you to the completion of Genesis. And we jump from verse to verse as we read the Bible. And that's where we are in the error, because we go from Joseph was in prison to Joseph is now the prime minister. And we say, yay, happy ending. But we forget that there was time, there were seconds, there were minutes, and there were hours of that wait, of him waiting, not knowing. And I say all that to say, I lost even my train of thought. What did you say?
Is he going through menopause?
I'm not going through menopause.
No, I was saying bitter or better.
Oh, like, okay. I'm back on track, people. This is what we read, and I read it, and it took me a while to get it. And it says that the Lord was with Joseph in all that he did.
Yes.
And it says that multiple times. And we say, wow, but here's the reality. Here's the other side of that truth. The Lord was with Joseph because Joseph was with the Lord.
Mm.
Joseph chose to be better and not get bitter in those circumstances. And knowing that the Lord was with him required him to draw closer to the Lord he said he believed in. And we do have that story as an example, as a testimony, that if we are in the midst of a prison, a form of slavery, whether it's emotionally, whether it's habitually, or something that is keeping you in bondage, whether it's guilt or shame,
mm-hmm.
that God is allowing these circumstances to touch your life because he wants to mature you through it. He wants to refine you through it. And like I always say, and you can cut me off, I'm not saying going through adversity, which I've went through, has been easy, but I'm saying because of my faith, it has been easier.
I just want you to know that in my Bible, I have taken out the first chapter of James because I don't like that, what it says. Because I remember many times kind of being brought to, not even on my knees, but on my face and just discouraged and going, what in the world? And remembering that verse, you know, consider it pure joy, and I'd go, no, not today.
Wow.
Not today. I'm just being real, you know, even pastors have those times. And I can say now, I look back and say, yeah, those, I may not have said they were pure joy, but I take joy in what they were and how they brought about. And and we do have to accept that with evil in the world and with sin in the world, you know, anything can happen. And I love that commercial where they say life comes at you fast. The father's pushing this little boy on the swing, and the it's a little boy when he pushes him, but when he comes back, he's a grown teenager and knocks him down. And man, is that, that's so true. And but God never changes, no matter what. And his desire for us to grow and become, we, the word in the Greek is teleos, and it literally means what we're becoming. And God is so much more interested in what we're becoming than where we are or where we've been. And he has a plan for us and what we're to become.
Amen. And on the edge of what Pastor Scott just shared with us, there's some way to remember certain verses in the Bible, and this really helped me. It's James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 is the verse we quoted. So that's James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. So I say it's your ABCs and your 1, 2, 3s. And why is it ABC? Because adversity builds character. And if you've memorized that verse and you can't consider it joy in the midst of your trial, remember, it's touched your life for a reason, and adversity will build character if you allow it.
And I have a quote from Corrie Ten Boom that says it, and she knew darkness. No matter how deep our darkness is, he is deeper still. And I think that's what we're talking about, that when you are in the dark place, there's a God that will meet you there. He's already there. He's holding you.
Right, and you become a capable comforter, in fact, when you have it not only gone through discomfort to experience God's comfort, you have to go through discomfort. The reason why he would allow me to go through discomfort is because he wants to not only administer his comfort to me, his peace to me, but then he wants me to take what I've experienced and share it with somebody else. And there's no way I can minister to anybody had I not gone through it myself. How can I relate to this person who's going through this affliction if I had not felt it myself? And that's where we're at. And as Christians, God allows these things because he needs us out there as his hands and his feet to just reach out, go to that person and just give them a hug and be the arms of Jesus.
And I can see this as if it was just yesterday. I was driving. I was 17 years old. It was the day before my 18th birthday. And I left my home and was going to college. And it was the middle of the summer. I'm driving down through the Carson Valley in Nevada. And I remember having a very pointed conversation with God because there were some real hurts in my life. And I knew I had a call to ministry. And I remember saying to him, God, whatever you have to do to keep me relevant. And what I have learned and realized from that moment on, that brokenness is what God has always used to keep me relevant and to keep me to be able to connect with people. Would I choose that direction? No, but I chose to say, whatever, God. And it's funny because when you see people and they say, oh, yes, I want God to use me. I wish he would use me. Well, go look at a used car sometime and a well-used car. They get used. And there are bumps and bruises. And there, you, when you say, God, use me, you're not going to be showroom quality forever. But you will be very well used.
I love that. And I'm going to piggyback that. That's what I do best here. Crash test. And what is the point of that crash test? These automakers take these cars through these they crash them on purpose. Why? Is because they are testing the durability. And if they see a flaw or if they see something that can be made stronger, they do so in the remake. And this is why God takes us through. We are going through these crash courses and he wants to take us out on the other end stronger for it. And a verse that goes with all this is John 16, verse 33. And Jesus said these words. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's not you may have tribulation, which actually means pressure. It is you will have tribulation in this world, but you can have good cheer because I have overcome what you are experiencing. And if you hold on to me, if you make me the anchor of your soul, you will experience a peace that imprisons you, that guards you, that keeps you from all the outward that really can shake you up. We thank you so much for tuning in to us today. We close every episode with Psalms 46:10, which is, be still and know that I am God. Tune in next week.
Which way are you going? Yahweh, you don't know him. I answer his calling. Y'all people ain't knowing. He breathed in my lungs and spared me from Satan. And now that I love, even my loved ones, they hate.
waiting, pacing, pacing for me to fall on my face. But I'm falling in faith, pardon me for his grace. There's a battle out there, spiritually in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And the father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that light. No one perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
Running the street, y'all think y'all doing something different.
Nah,
don't you know they've been watching that block that you're on since before my time?
Wow.
So what makes you think that you're doing something different? You want to do something different? Put your faith in Christ. I've been there.